Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 78? 78?
Wow. I got nothing for 78.
Me either. We're 7,800 degrees Fahrenheit Bon Jovi? Question mark? No, okay, never mind. That was a real reach. You know, we're actually 459 pieces of audio content up at blindbargains.com with this particular episode.
So it might be CSUN might give us our 500th or somewhere around that time, it looks like. Then
we're gonna definitely come really close to that, and that is a large number to think of. I don't want to think about how many hours and hours and hours. Oh, really?
Yeah, what? 78 is the element platinum. Is number 78. Thank you, Wikipedia.
That was a good find. There is a lot to like here on this particular one, because you could actually be melting platinum down in your Instant Pot. I've been calling it Instapot, like Instacart.
It is not. It's Instant Pot. Ricky and I both have Instant Pots. We actually have two different versions. One of us has the smart version, and one of us has the not so smart version. But we'll talk about the differences and everything. It's a cooking segment, but it's really a cool way to cook. And especially for those of you who may not like to cook a lot, there's a lot to like about the Instant Pot. And Ricky and I will compare notes and talk about that a little bit later on.
We'd also like to thank our great sponsors, Hims, for sponsoring us once again. Remember, that's Hims. You can find them over at www.hims-inc.com. That's got periods in there, by the way.
Yeah, yes. www.hims-inc.com.
I was playing around with my verbosity settings once again.
That's how it would read if you didn't have it. But don't forget the dash.
Not a problem. Yeah, exactly. That is the easiest way to be able to get to the American website. Otherwise, you're looking for Hims International. If you are outside the United States, by the way, Hims International is a website you would want to take a look at. But hey, there are all sorts of things in the news to talk about, including those of you who might be surfing the web would be really interested in knowing. Okay, should we pronounce it the way that it's supposed to be pronounced or the way that screen readers pronounce it?
Can we throw in a few second clip? You know that that song, that WCAG song?
Yes.
Gonna give you the WCAG. Yes. He says WCAG.
WCAG. WCAG. WCAG. I'm a cool DJ. Sharky. WCAG. WCAG. Sharky.
We got a brand new specification. It works with the tool of verification. Makes the web accessible. You know we made it testable. The WCAG. WCAG. We wanna show you the WCAG. We wanna show you what this world can be.
Okay, is that like GIF and GIF?
Yeah, it's WCAG, right?
It's the A11Y equivalent of GIF and GIF. So the WCAG guidelines 2.1 are up for exploration. Now, you were talking before we started recording that there were some interesting changes possibly that were being discussed.
Yes. So first of all, if you don't know what WCAG, that's Web Content Accessibility Guidelines.
Klingon. Kerpla.
So these are the guidelines that a lot of organizations, especially government, but others as well. This is when you say you need to make your website accessible. This is the generally accepted standards that you go against, right? To say this is, you know, these are the things that you, this is, you know, you need to make your website. You have to have links that are clickable and you have to have fonts that are this big, things like that. The current set was written in 2005 or thereabouts. So things didn't exist
way
then.
There back was, there when Firefox was in the single digit releases.
Yes, and there was no Chrome, there was no Android, there was no iOS, there was no touchscreens, at least of note. So a lot of things that weren't really covered. So people who do testing, and you and I do web testing here and there, it's kind of hard sometimes to apply these web standards to an iPhone app, because there was no iPhone back then. So there was talk of, okay, maybe we're actually going to, let's add a mobile extension. And then they're like, no, that might not work. That's going to be more confusing. So instead, it's, let's upgrade 2.0 to 2.1. So that's the process that's going on now. And they're accepting feedback of things like that, of, you know, how should an app on a touchscreen behave? And, you know, some things are pretty obvious. Like, of course, buttons still need to be labeled with alt text and things like that. But some things are more mobile specific as far as, you know, the way you would interact with the touchscreen versus a computer. You know, you don't, for instance, headings on an app are a little less important, right? Because most of your screens will just have a few lines as opposed to a website, which has hundreds. You know, so having different headings on the web page is way more important and then on an app. So that's an example where you want to apply things a little bit different for mobile. So there's a lot in the process. I don't want to get too much into the weeds of it, but it's certainly going on. And if it's something you're interested in, we've linked to what's going on with the process, and you can kind of follow it. And it's, you know, ultimately ends up being really important, because that's what government, and that's what a lot of companies will follow as far as accessibility.
It's really interesting to think about, because it's not just one platform. You can't just say, how would it work on iOS? You do have Windows in the manner of touch typing and the like with Narrator. You do have Android, and those, you know, are constantly changing. So it's always hard to apply long-term filters to something that feels a need to change and grow in order to stay relevant. That will be very, very interesting. But if you have comments or suggestions, or would just like to sit in the cheap seats and eat popcorn and see what happens, definitely follow the link over at blindbargains.com. Now, you could also surf the web by touch, but you could do it through Braille. And what I mean by that is HIMSS has an update to the Braille Edge. So what is in this new version of the Braille Edge that people are talking about there, sir?
A few things I see. There is the quote-unquote exam mode, which has been in a few different Braille displays, which pretty much says we're going to lock out everything else because we want you as a student to take an exam, and we don't want you, I don't know, surfing the web and looking up the answers on Google. So yeah. You can now lock it down with a password. And I know all the things that, you know, that we never did in school. Never.
Never.
Never with Braille never. Speaks or anything else. No, never played a hangman. During class.
No.
Ever. UEB support for prompts. That's something that probably should have been there a year ago, but it's there now, less. A quick typing mode. So it's one of those deals where if you press T with the space bar, it'll actually enter in T space. So it's kind of a little shorthand thing for typing. So it's kind of, you know, it saves you a click.
Like that.
Saves you a click.
All right.
Saved you a click. And then some other
anything
little.
Anything to help productivity.
Mm-hmm. So it's available. Free update now. A lot of these things were on the Braille Census, so of course it makes sense for them to bring them over to the Edge.
Seems like there's some JAWS excitement as well, some things that are going to work better with JAWS.
Public Beta 3 is out. That's true. Yes, oh, you're right. In the HIMSS thing, it's some compatibility. It makes it easier to type in things like Control and Windows and Alt and things that you really kind of need to use on Windows if you're using the Braille display with JAWS.
Again, productivity would be helpful. But you're right. Public Beta 3, we talked about it last week on episode 77.
They're almost there.
There's an update to that. Yeah, we're getting around the corner.
If you use a HandyTech Braille display, I saw some stuff there. I guess they updated their drivers. So it's kind of like, you know, the Braille display company said, oh, JAWS is coming out with a new version. Let's make sure we get the latest driver. So it's in the next release. So there's some HandyTech stuff, and there's some the audio ducking, which we talked about last week, which of course is on the iPhone and on NVDA. It's now toggleable. Is that a word?
Ooh, yeah, well, it is now.
Okay.
Toggleable. Like yes, a Toblerone.
Yes, it's... Okay. It's a like switch. it's better. It's just a switch.
Triangle chocolatey goodness. Yes, what you were saying.
It's a switch. JAWS 18 should be coming out within the next week or two, I would say. Based on past release schedules, we would assume by the end of October. We don't have anything saying that, but that's how
no
it's going
about the past. No way to know. It will surprise you when it surprises us.
All right. How do you segue? This is Survey of the Week. We haven't had a Survey of the Week in a while. Other than saying that, I guess you could use JAWS to take it, but that's a really pretty bad segue.
Considering the last segue that I did was pretty weak, that would be pretty much on par. So, you could actually take these Survey of the Week, and you're right. It has been a while since we've had a couple of those, but you know what's been happening is food and cats have been taken over last word.
Well, and there hasn't been many surveys. And
that's true.
I was going to do one last week, and I tweeted about this. Someone sent me a survey about a potential new product. The survey wasn't accessible. If you're going to do a survey for blind people, use one of those sites it was one of those where the checkboxes didn't work.
Sighted assistance to help you do the survey for blind people.
This is not good. So we did not, of course, put that survey out. This is a rehabilitation survey for people who are 18 or over, and you could win $100 five people will win $100 Visa gift card after taking said survey. I haven't taken this one, but for a possible Visa gift card, which you could use to buy some
awesome.
Black Friday. There you go. So we'll link to that in the show notes, as we always do with these surveys. If you have a survey, let us know. If you have anything else like that, we haven't had many of these lately. The surveys of the week, we used to have the Kickstarter of the week, but those have kind of died down.
That's
for a
minute.
It actually
has gotten a little quiet in that area. You're absolutely right. And it's been taken over by information release of the week. So different software releases. And it looks like we're going to have the Microsoft conversation on October 26th will be the release day for Microsoft to talk about all sorts of new stuff. They're calling it Windows 10, the future of Windows 10. Then Apple turned around and said on October 27th, we're going to talk about new Macs. So we are going to get
MacBook
new Macs
Airs and things like that. They haven't updated the
possibly
MacBook
with no USBs or at least more dongles to hook up to them is the current rumor. And then on November 6th, Microsoft turned around and said there's going to be an Microsoft Office event in New York City. So there's still a lot of stuff stuff down. Which one?
The one that could be interesting, and I don't doubt that they'll find a way to make this work with VoiceOver, but replacing all the function keys with some sort of touch-sensitive panel of some sort.
Ew. Okay, sure. Yeah. They're war on buttons. Right. I gotcha. Ew, no, that's...
You can make it more dynamic, and sure. I don't know. I trust that they'll make it accessible. This is Apple, and they do that, but...
Well, you know, they found a way to make that home button work, the one that Patrick likes that I'm not too... Yeah. Really. Anyway, he's right about that, though. If you turn off your phone, it feels so weird to tap that button with no haptics. It's so weird. It is so, so strange.
I have not seen that. I need to go see an iPhone 7. I haven't even seen one yet, so I need to go play with
that. It is actually a pretty well-built phone, and I like the stereo speakers on it. I know some people feel kind of very, very strong opinions about the particular sound of the phone. I personally don't have any issues. Also, we're going to have later in the month, of course, in November, later in the year, of course, sorry, not this month, but November, Google Home coming out, and Jay has pre-ordered his. I have a Chromecast-enabled television right over here with my Chromecast audio above it, so we'll be able to talk about Google Home. Pixel reviews are out as well. There are a lot of interesting reviews about the Google Pixel. I may hold off a little. I found out that it doesn't have stereo speakers. It has one speaker at the very bottom, and some of the reviews have been like version 1.0, which is very interesting, but definitely check it out there. There are all sorts of ascending and descending opinions on the Google Pixel. And there's still more stuff to come out because there's a possible 32 gig Paperwhite, Amazon Kindle Paperwhite, which is about to come out. So I like the 32 inch window.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better? That would be an interesting discussion.
Kindle Paperwhite that you could read if you have vision from across the room.
Which would become a paperweight easily.
Hang it on the wall and read comfortably from your chair.
Oh my gosh. It is
definitely a, well, you know, Jeff Bezos probably has one. Definitely a thing. Definitely. And if you have any other ideas about stories or others, send it on into feedback at blindbargains.com. Hey, Christmas is coming around the corner.
I was just going to say, let me mention this before we transition over to cooking. Uh-huh. Some of you might remember last year we did a Blind Bargains holiday cast featuring many businesses and people who wanted to sell their technology and other things. We did a really cool, I thought it was, it went kind over well, Black Friday show. Yeah. So if you are a small business or a large business or an organization or even a person and you want to get on this year's version of the Blind Bargains holiday cast, we have packages to fit just about any budget. So just let us know and you can email feedback@blindbargains.com and we can get you the details. We'd love to have you back on if you were on last year, or if you weren't on last year, we'd love to have you on for that special, which will come out right around Black Friday. So you can be amongst the holiday deals in hoopla with your ad on the Blind Bargains holiday cast. So just let us know. And we want to try to get that done and wrapped up by about November 15th. So if you can let us know, then we will do what we can and we will work with you. We can produce your ad if you need be, or we can do it interview style, or you can just send us what you already have. We can do it. There's a lot of different ways we can do it. So just let us know. We'd love to do it and make it bigger and better than ever than last year.
Hard to believe that we have only a certain number of shows left before we get to the end of the year. And this year in assistive technology, 2016. Oh my goodness. There is just a little bit of time left for a big story to pop up and maybe jump ahead of the, what possibly could be the big story that people would probably guess already at home. But that doesn't mean you can't get your bingo cards out and see if we say some of the same things we've said in years past. And, you know, also, we have Patrick's revenge show, as I lovingly call it, outtakes of a certain kind or way that Patrick will put together. That's always a very popular thing. So much more for us to get to before we get to 2017. But coming up after the break, you're going to hear JJ and Ricky talk about the Instant Pot. See, I didn't do it there. Instacart.
Good job.
Instant Pot.
Good job.
Yeah. Getting better.
Welcome back to episode 78 of the Blind Bargains cast. I am JJ here in the Blind Bargains test kitchen, I guess.
Yeah.
Along with my good friend Ricky Enger, and we have something in common when it comes to cooking. We both have Instant Pots. And welcome back to the show, Ricky. Let's talk about this thing, and we're going to make some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. This is cool. Welcome to the it seems fitting somehow that on BBQ we're doing cooking. So the Instant Pot, we do both have one, but we have different models. So there are actually three of these models. There's the Lux, and that is the very basic model. It's a pressure cooker. It does rice, and it's a slow cooker. You can't make yogurt in it. I don't know how many people want to do that, but that is a possibility with... Cool. Yeah, I think it could be neat. You can actually do ricotta cheese and some stuff as well. And you can make like fermented rice, like some of the Asian fermented rice dishes. You can do that. Not in the Lux, which is the very basic model, but you can do that in the Duo and the Smart Cooker. So you have the Duo, right, JJ? Or do you have the Lux?
I have the Duo. So the Duo is the IP60. We'll link to all these. This is the in the show notes, of course. So there's a 6-quart and there's an 8-quart Duo as well. So I have the 6-quart version of the Duo.
And I have the 6-quart version of the Smart Cooker. So the difference between these two things is one, price. And right now on Amazon, that difference is actually pretty significant. So the Duo is... 120, and I think the as of this recording, the Smart Cooker is like 190 or so. When I bought mine, it was 149, and the Duo was 120. So the difference between those things, it was only like $30 more to get Bluetooth. So it made sense to me to do that.
Yeah, and these things do go on sale. Of course, I got this one. It was on, remember Prime Day back in July?
Oh, yes, Prime Day.
This was $69, and they sold 18,000 in 1 hour.
Yeah, that is an incredible deal for this thing, as you will see, because we're going to actually talk about what it can do, how it works, and we're actually going to make some food. So I think these things look pretty similar to each other. Yes. You have a... lid for the pot, obviously, which is mostly plastic, and it has an inner sealing ring and a steam release valve on it, so you can either seal the pressure cooker or you release the steam once you're done cooking something. And it makes a neat little noise whenever you open and close the lid.
Oh yeah, so I'm going to take the lid and put it here on the top. I'm standing in front of mine. These both make the same sounds. And
yes,
what you'll notice is that there are a lot of sounds that are made. So I found even without having the smart version, the app, which Ricky will talk about, the sounds really do kind of help me let know what's going on. So if I set this on here, that says it's on or it's not tight. And now it is in the shut position, for lack of a better term, you know, according to the ascending tones as they go up.
Yep. And mine does make the same noise. And the neat thing about these and the very necessary thing about these is that there are safety features involved. So it's not going to start to try and reach pressure if there is something wrong with the you know, seal of the lid. With the Bluetooth app, it will actually tell you the lid is in an unsafe zone. Stop and do something about that, basically. So that's
really important. Because, yeah, I mean, if you talk to, I've talked to people who've had fresher cookers back in the day, and that was, you know, they used to be considered a pretty unsafe appliance, especially a lot of times they would do things like, yeah, building pressure without being closed. So there are a lot of safety features on this, which really make it, it's changed, well, they've really tried to change how pressure cooking looks, and they've done a lot here.
Absolutely. I was actually terrified of pressure cookers as a child, and so when I bought this, I was kind of thinking, well, it'll be a nice Bluetooth slow cooker, and maybe someday I'll branch out into doing other stuff. And I have. So I think one difference between my model and yours, possibly, or maybe not, about how many buttons are on your pressure cooker? Like 14 or so?
14, it's somewhere 18? Around there. So
yeah,
in that'd be four rows of buttons, or four columns of buttons.
Yeah.
A column of five, two columns of three, and another column of six. No, it's six, three, yeah. Three, and six, actually. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that'd be 6, 9, 12, 18 in
18,
total.
Yeah.
And
okay,
these are
so
for
mine
different
does
cook
too.
Modes.
Yep.
I think there's a slightly different arrangement, but so you have a lot of different cook modes, everything from presets such as stew or meat or oatmeal or rice. Then mm-hmm. you have things like up and down, the high or low pressure, a manual button, which is actually what I use the most, and a couple others.
Yeah, and cancel button, slow cooker button.
We have layouts. I have layouts for both of these written out, and I'll put these up on the show notes because it definitely makes it a lot easier when you know where the buttons are and know which one.
Yes, I think that's incredibly helpful. And what I like is I'm glad I got the Bluetooth model because I almost never have to push a button. And this is kind of good for me because I'm really flaky and I will forget from one day to the next which button is which, or how many times did I press this? Am I on 4 minutes or am I on 30? The good news is that if you're not particularly flaky and you can count on occasion and you can remember where things are, this is perfectly accessible without the app.
Oh, I'm
right,
going
JJ's?
Back to that. I check that list all the time of the buttons for if you're like, which one is doing it?
Yeah.
Should we? I've actually set up here. I wonder if we should get this going.
Yeah, let's get started. And while that is cooking, I can talk a little bit about the Bluetooth app. But yeah, go ahead and actually show what it's like.
So
to
we're doing the simplest thing ever. Just some carrots with brown sugar. Now, normally you would do more complex things, but you could do simple things like carrots or rice. There's actually a really handy timetable that I'll link to that says for things like rice and oats, how much water you would add.
Yes, I've done a lot of rice.
Yummy. Generally, for most cooking, you're going to need to add some sort of liquid, whether it's water or whether it's something else, because that's is probably what's needed to help the cooking. So you have to have some sort of liquid to make things happen, unless you are sauteing meats, because you can do things like that as well. So
right.
I'm going to I don't know why I play both the sounds, but that's okay. I'm going to undo the Instant Pot lid. We just got a little bag of carrots we're going to throw in here. Yeah, this is like really bad.
And you can probably, you know, it's great.
Come on, get out of the bag. You don't have this
Come
on the show.
On.
It's a little ass carrot. Get out of the bag.
There we go.
Sorry,
success. You can probably tell as those carrots are hitting that it's stainless steel. So it's not like the glass slow cooker kind of thingy. It is stainless steel.
And there's some water. There's a little bit of water
Yay.
To throw in here. And the bowl that I'm dumping this into comes out. So you can, that's how you would easily wash it. And so that middle, you could actually buy multiples of these if you wanted to.
You can, and I might. Yeah.
It's very tempting, especially for, you know, just cooking all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I've done, like, I did a chicken tikka masala and basmati rice, and I made the rice earlier in the day and then washed the pot and then did the other dish. Mm-hmm. But it would have been really nice to be able to just do the rice, take out that inner bowl, and then do the rest. So, yeah, you can wash the inner bowl. You can hand wash the lid. You don't want to put the lid in the dishwasher. You can also either dishwash or hand wash the sealing ring. That comes out. So you can actually wash it or stick it in the dishwasher.
It's all pretty simple to clean. I've probably done about 10 different things so far and doing pretty well as far as holding up. You know, I can see after a while, I'll probably have to replace the inner bowl as it gets beat up a little bit here and there. But it's doing well so far. So let's show you how simple this is. We're going to put this lid back on. There we go. Now, the first thing you want to check on the top is the pressure valve. So this is a little, how would you describe this little thing here? Gasket-y thing?
Yeah, it looks like a little knob. And the first time I saw this, I couldn't figure out how it worked for two reasons. One is that when I was reading the instructions, it said, when you're ready to cook, point the pressure valve to ceiling and, you know, then it's ready to go. And I was like, but it never points up at the ceiling. What am I?
I did the same thing. I did the exact same thing.
So that was confusing.
So you point it. So by pointing it, the actual pressure or the air will come out the top. You're generally not going to put your finger on the top because heat will come out of there. It won't when it's closed, but you still don't really want to touch it. You're going to control it by kind of this arrow-looking thing, which when it is closed will point to the left.
Yeah, and it looks really loose. So that's the other thing that confused me. It's like, how does that... how does that seal if it's loose? But that is exactly how it is meant to work. And then when you turn it to release, you'll notice that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You'll kind of hear
it. Now it's released. It's pointed.
It actually lifts up a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could take it out, but you normally would not do that.
Yeah, you can to wash it, but.
Mm-hmm. So here's how simple this is, though, to cook this. So I'm gonna press manual. And then I don't know what time it's on. As Ricky said, that's one thing you would have on the app. But, so there's manual. You notice it beeps. I'm going to press the down arrow. You notice how it just beeped right there?
Yeah.
It beeped twice. So that means that it just wrapped around. If I press up arrow, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, cool.
So now I'm going to let it go. And after about 10 seconds... we're going to hear several beeps, and that's going to mean it's going to start the cycle. And there it goes.
There it goes.
So, I set the timer for 4 minutes. It actually is going to take a few minutes to build pressure. That's not included in the time. So, your recipe will say cook for 10 minutes. That's the time that you're going to set on here. The pressure is going to build first, though. That will not be counted in the time. Then it's going to actually cook, and then... we will release pressure. We're going to hear what that sounds like in a minute. So now that these are going, we can talk about some of the other things.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I feel like this was kind of designed with accessibility in mind. Now, maybe it's accidental, or maybe they really were thinking about that. Make it beep when it does this or does that.
But it's beeping twice when it wraps around. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you probably wouldn't think of that, but... really clever. I like that. So as you can see, it is very usable, even if you don't have the Bluetooth app. I do, however, have the app, and it will pair to an iPhone or an Android device. I haven't paired this to my Android tablet yet, so I can't really speak to the accessibility of that app. I can talk about the iPhone app, though, and it is, it's really nice. Actually, there were... when the smart cooker was first released, there were issues both with the cooker itself and with the app. Like, it wasn't easy to use. Not only was it not accessible, it just was poorly designed. And they've changed that, thankfully. So from my app, I can... there are a few recipes included in the app, and those have what are called scripts. So I can put all the ingredients in that the recipe calls for, and then... I can actually just click start and a script will run, meaning if I'm supposed to cook this for 10 minutes at high pressure and then let it do a slow natural release for 10 minutes and then I can open the lid, the app will do that and it'll just beep when it's time for me to open the lid. You can instead do a lot of this manually where you push the stew button, or we do what JJ just did where you just simply click manual and tell it not only how much time you want, but you can control whether it's low pressure or high pressure and all that happy stuff.
And then that would assume so you could see how much time is left on the app?
You can. Not only can you see how much time is left, you can see what the pressure level is. So as this is coming to pressure right now, and it hasn't quite reached pressure, I would assume, it's going to show pressure level none. And it's going to actually show the temperature inside the pot. So you can watch as the temperature rises. It usually takes, it needs to get up to about 230 to 235 degrees inside the pot before it's going to reach pressure. At least that's been my experience so far. And it will first reach low pressure. So it'll go from pressure level none, and then it'll show pressure level low, pressure level high. And once it reaches whatever pressure you've programmed it for, then it will actually begin the countdown process.
And by the way, I'm standing in front of this thing as it's building the pressure. Everything is safe to touch except for the this little part in the top middle, I would say. That part will get kind of hot, but the sides are cool touch, the front is cool touch, just what everything else is. So it's pretty and really quite safe to the touch. Now, I'm not sure if the mic's picking this up as this is building up pressure. And then it stopped. That's a good thing because it now just kind of locked the pressure. And now the, we set it for 4 minutes, I think?
Yeah.
We're not professional cooks. Yeah, so now the 4 minutes has started. Now you're gonna get an alert for that on your app, right?
I need to be watching the screen, so it's not doing push notifications, but it will it will show me if I'm looking at the app that yes, things have in fact started and we're looking at a countdown. It doesn't do 359, 358, 357, but it does show 4 minutes, and then when of course it switches to three, then it shows that. And just like with
just
yours.
To prove here.
Yep.
So just as I was just going to say, just to prove, here's the lid. I can't move the lid. I can't do anything with the lid. It's locked. I can't take it off at all if I wanted to.
Yeah, which is a really great thing.
One could mess with the valve, but don't.
Yeah, don't.
And sorry, so you were going to say, you were talking
about I was going to say, just like yours, it will beep as it reaches the end. The app, again, doesn't do any push notifications to let you know that it's done. So you do have to be listening for that indicator from the pot itself that it's finished.
Okay, so does it actually give you an alarm or anything? Or?
No, I would like it if it did. I would like it if it did push notifications where I'm not paying attention, I'm elsewhere doing something else on my phone, and I would like it to pop up and just say, food is done, but it doesn't just yet. That may be something that they look at in future. I hope so.
Let's talk about the important questions. What have you made?
Let's see. I have made a lot of rice. So I've made white rice and I've also made basmati rice. I'm still trying to get that right because the rice has come out perfectly except for there's a bit that will stick to the bottom and get a bit crispy, which is not what we want. So working with that over time. I made a fish curry, which a coconut fish curry, which I'd never made before. It was really good.
Was that one of the recipes?
Yeah, it is one of the recipes included in the app. And you can download the app if you want, even if you don't have the Bluetooth model, because it can sort of show you some of the things that the pot can do that you may not have thought about.
Plus, the recipes are on the InstantPot.com website
yes.
as well.
Exactly. So it just depends on where you want to look at those things. I did chicken tortilla soup. I've done beef stew. Oh, man, it was really, really good. I'd never made that before either, and it came out delicious. And the other thing that I've really gotten into now is just cooking chicken breasts marinated in whatever spices I want. And then you can take them out and shred the chicken and put them into whatever you want. You can do burritos or, you know, on top of a salad, or just you kind of have all-purpose chicken that's super easy to shred, but it's not, like, mushy.
You know, and one of the things I really like about this, there's a couple modes, namely sauté, where you can do this without the lid on. And I'll talk about this in a second. Well, this
there we
is done.
Go.
And in a minute, we're going to release pressure. Let me just finish my thought here. About there's a couple modes, like sauté, where you can do it without the lid on. So you can do a lot of one-pot meals. You can, if you have a meat that's not going to generate much fat or grease, such as a chicken breast or beef stew meat, you can sauté the stew meat right here in the Instant Pot with the lid off and whatever
other
spices you want to simmer with.
Yep.
And then add the vegetables, throw the lid on, and you're going. I mean, there's a lot
that's
of
exactly
ways you
right.
can do this. So even, you know, some things like, depending on the meat, if it's going to generate a lot of fat, you're going to maybe want to do it and then drain it or do the meat over the stove. You could do it that way. But a lot of stuff really, especially if you buy lean ground beef or if you buy lean stew meat, you can just do it all in one pot. And
yeah.
It makes it really simple. And you'd be surprised at the things that you don't have to. I mean, some things, sure, like if it's ground beef, yeah, you're going to want to make sure that's brown first before you put in the other stuff.
Yeah.
But for some other things, you can kind of just cook it all at once and let it go, especially like with chicken and things like that. So.
Yep.
So those series of 10 beeps, notice again, the different number of beeps and all that, says that the 4-minute cycle has finished with the carrots. I have two options at this point. One is called the manual pressure release, and one is called the quick pressure release, because there's all this pressure in there. Notice the lid still
can't move it.
So it kind of depends a little bit on your level of patience and also how much you want things to simmer more. If you want things to kind of, the flavors to gel a little more, one of the things the Instant Pot is really good at is making sure the flavors stay in the food that you are eating. I could just let this sit here for a little bit. In fact, I could let it sit here for a while because it will keep it kind of on a crock pot warm setting.
Mm-hmm.
Say if I was just across the house or out of the house. And when I come back to it, I can let the pressure, you know, the pressure will be released and I can get rid of it. Or we can do what's called quick pressure release. Now, there's some things like rice and oats that you're not going to want to do quick pressure release on because then it will kind of spurt things up. But for most things like carrots, you could do that. So I'm going to actually take my finger. We're going to quick pressure release these carrots because it's just carrots. And notice if I kind of just nudge it a little bit, see, it's going to kind of
you can hear it
funny.
Coming out.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of flick it and there it goes.
And you'll hear a little click at the very
empty.
End.
Mm-hmm. This is a pretty empty bowl, so it's not going to take very long. For a much more full pot of stew and things, it will take a minute or two or three. Still can't move the lid. Still can't move the lid. Still can't move. Nope, now it's starting to let me move the lid. And there we go.
Pop. Yep.
Now, there will be a fair amount of steam when you pull the lid off. So I kind of pull it off and you don't want to stand over it. In other words, when you're
yeah,
it
you could hit in the face with steam. Not a good
Ooh,
idea.
Not a lot. This wasn't too big of a thing. And because everything is, the juices are inside and everything, I really wasn't smelling the carrots until now.
Right.
And now they're in there. And this isn't TV, so we can't just, you know, show you how delicious this was.
Look how delicious this is.
Oh, Carl. It's very tender.
So four minutes was a good choice there, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's hot, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hot. It's welcome, man.
You may burn yourself if you have no patience, but it's worth it.
You should wait a couple minutes before you eat. You should wait a minute before you eat, but it will cool down in relative ease. And Yeah, the carrots, 4 to 5, I would say. Maybe could have waited another minute or two or let the manual pressure release. And, you know, but I was a little impatient here.
Yeah.
These carrots came out definitely cooked. I wouldn't call them, like, soft cooked.
So they're still firm, kind of?
They're still firm, and that's going to be a personal preference.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing certain kinds of carrots, you may want them just really soft and whatever. But this was a good... They had a little bit, not crunchy, but definitely they had a little bit of a bite.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bite to them. And that's probably how you normally would want them. So,
yeah, that's how I like my
carrots. It's like anything else. You're going to want to play with things. There are tons of recipes online for pressure cookers. If you just search instant pot macaroni and cheese or instant pot chicken tikka masala or whatever,
yes.
There are so many things out there. And other ones that are just for pressure cookers that you can easily adapt to the instant pot. So there's
right.
so many recipes out there.
One thing to keep in mind about that, if you find pressure cooker recipes, look at, if it doesn't say Instant Pot specifically, look at, does it say this is for a stovetop pressure cooker or an electric pressure cooker? Because if it is for a stovetop pressure cooker, that's fine. Those actually have higher pressure abilities than do the electric, be it an Instant Pot or another model. So you would just add 20% to the cooking time. If you see something that is for strictly a stovetop, just add 20% to it and you can use it just fine in your Instant Pot.
Yeah, it definitely makes it pretty simple to find recipes. You can use it like a normal slow cooker if you wanted to. You can do all those type of things. But most things that you would do in a slow cooker even, you can do in here and just do them a lot
faster.
So
much faster, yeah.
You know, I've done chili and like, you know, like the beef stew example, you know, normally you'd want to let that stew be sit around for a long time so it tenderizes
yep.
for about and 40 minutes.
I just did one on Monday and I will do it differently next time. I cooked everything together and my vegetables were perfect. My meat wasn't quite as tender as I wanted. So next time I would cook the meat. So the whole thing I cooked for just 20 minutes. Actually, with all of it together, I sauteed the meat, did this for 20 minutes. The meat was perfectly done. It just wasn't quite falling apart. So what I would do next time is I would cook the meat probably for 15 minutes with a portion of my liquid. And then I would put the rest of the liquid and the vegetables in and do the vegetables for 10 minutes because that's definitely long enough for the vegetables. The meat just needed a bit more time. And I saw that in several recipes. You know,
yeah, and just to show the variances that you could deal with here. So I actually did it. I did the meat, water, and I used the McCormick seasoning mix stuff.
Well, there you go.
Works.
Yeah,
but I did that, and I actually did it for 45. I remember it wasn't sauteed for that. It was actually just on regular manual, but it was 45. So that meat got really, really tender. So probably even more than I needed to. And then I just added the vegetables for I believe it was 10. And
yeah.
So, you know, but they both, you know, two different ways of doing it, and they both came out
fine. They both came out good.
There's a lot of lenience. A lot, you know, some things like rice and things, you want to make sure, generally, the timetables are pretty low. Most of your rice is, 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah, and it's usually a 1-to-1 ratio of, you know, say 1 cup rice to 1 cup water. I think that I might play around with adding just a tiny bit more water so I can avoid having some of the rice sticking to the bottom of the pot, or even possibly adding a little bit of oil to avoid that. But it'll take a little longer for basmati rice than it will for white rice. And by the way, there is a rice function on the Instant Pot. And if you push that, it's only done for white or I think parboiled rice. If you have other types of rice, then you just want to use the manual setting and figure out the timetable.
To me, it's kind of like the microwave with all those, you know, like the potatoes button.
You know,
the only one I ever used on the microwave was popcorn.
Right.
And the same thing here. I use manual for almost everything. Saute, of course, does things differently. And you have the lid off. And slow cook would be different. And yogurt would be different. But almost everything else, I've just been doing it on manual so far. Now, maybe there are certain programs. And, of course, with the Bluetooth model, some of the programs are fun to play with. But I do most things on manual. By the way, I need to press off because it
cancel.
Keep warm. There we go. Cancel. There we go.
And is that on the bottom right of the unit? Because that's
right
where
corner.
Mine is.
Yep.
Okay.
It's on the bottom right corner.
And if you get the Bluetooth model, the adjust button is going to be just above that. So on the bottom right corner, you have cancel, and then just above it, there's adjust. Right. The reason I say this is, well, not only so you can adjust things if you're programming it in manually, but in order to put the Instant Pot in pairing mode, you'll hold the adjust button in for 10 seconds, and then it's like, oh, I need to pair with something.
And that was an accessible process?
That was super easy. It was amazingly easy, and I am not a huge fan of Bluetooth all the time because it seems like whatever can go wrong will. But for this, there were no issues that I had.
There's so many simple things. Some of the things you mentioned, I've also done a tikka masala that was really simple. I've never done Indian food in my life, and this was definitely not authentic, but you know.
No, but it was great to try, right?
Yeah, yeah, it came out good. Regular oatmeal is really simple to do. Of course, you know, doing vegetables like I just did with the carrots, that was, of course, a really simple example, but you know, vegetables and things like that come out really, really well. You can get a pan, what they call a springform pan, and drop it in the middle of this, and you can even do something like a lasagna if you wanted to. The reason you put that in a pan is because you wouldn't want water to soak up in the lasagna, but if you can, you can actually just kind of wrap it up in aluminum foil. I've seen people do cheesecakes. There's an Oreo cheesecake, Ricky.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and the cornbread and bread. Yeah, I haven't done that either. Ooh. And then some people will do, they will have some things in the bottom of the Instant Pot, and then they'll have a trivet that would raise a bowl up, or somehow they're fitting another smaller bowl into the pot that's sitting on top of something, and so they end up cooking two different things separately in the pot, which is really interesting. Yeah, and then you would just set another pot on top of that.
You put things underneath or over. I think some people have actually done the whole rice versus chicken, like in the same pot. The same
right.
So, you know,
yeah.
There's a lot that you can do. I mean, there's a lot of help out there. There's lots of blogs, a lot of cooking blogs that people are just totally infatuated with it right now. So there's lots of recipes being put out for it. So it's really easy, whether it's on the Instant Pot site or on other websites, to find really cool things to try. And yeah, you know, if you're someone who hasn't done as much cooking, or just maybe you just, you know, I'm lazy. I'm a lazy person. I don't hide that at all. And, you know, a lot of times cooking just has too many steps or too many dishes. Usually with this thing, I end up having to wash this and maybe, you know, one or two other things, measuring cups or whatever. And I am actually cooking a lot more now and healthier. Well, I have carrots to eat, and, you know, we have a lot of other things to do. So I think we're going to leave this where it is for now. But thank you so much for coming on, Ricky. Where can people get a hold of you?
I can most often be found on Twitter. I'm at Ricky_Inger. You can add me on Facebook as well. I'm not there quite as often, but happy to engage with people on Twitter, and always happy to be able to come on the show.
And if you have one of these, send us an email at feedback@blindbargains.com, or send us a comment on the show notes. Let us know what you've been making, or if you have any questions, of course, again, feedback@blindbargains.com. We'll put links to the different models and some of the other things that we've mentioned in the show notes over at blindbargains.com. We got sound off, last word, much more coming up, but first, this tip from Joe.
Believe it or not, I still have a Hotmail account, and I still actively use it. It's even tied to a few of my Microsoft services. However, a lot of people would say, ew, webmail, I don't want webmail, and I would tend to agree with you. It's not my favorite way of interacting with email. Recently, Outlook updated, and it is actually fairly decent for keyboard navigation. Now, hear me out. Don't fast forward just yet. There are some shortcuts up at the top of the screen. You do have pretty good keyboard navigation. When you first log in, you start off with the ability to arrow up and down and go through your list. You can hit the delete key and delete an email, but better yet, you can actually use the application key in this version of Outlook, the newest one, and it actually has some real things that you would use, not back, forward, or something like that. No, you actually can send things to OneNote. You can send things to junk mail. You can delete. You can move it into a folder. I was really surprised, having used older versions of Hotmail and Outlook over the years, There were always some shortcomings, and it didn't feel like I was using Outlook, but this latest version, as of October, is pretty good for using on the web. Now, recently, Microsoft announced a new premium version of Outlook for $19.99. You can have it, and no ads be displayed. Also, you have some abilities to do custom domains and the like, up to 5. It's kind of worth a look. I have a link in the show notes if you want to take a gander at that to see if it's something that you want. But in the meantime, Outlook.com, it's not completely horrible. And that's my tip for this week.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Thanks so much for your feedback on whatever channel you choose to send it in. We get them in all different ways. Everything from the emails to someone who decided to write through the AT Guys support website. That's okay. We will see. We still know where it's headed and we can find it.
It all gets read one way or another.
It gets read. John, talking about learning Ally, we were talking about last week, and I kind of quipped, who's using Learning Ally? But he's in the same situation I am. If you signed up before 94, there's this legacy lifetime account, and you can still get it for free. Now, because of that, he's not doing Bookshare, and he's like, I have too many books. I don't even have time to read all the books that I have. Probably a different situation for anyone who tries to sign up now. I think it's $100 a year versus Bookshare. Versus some of the others, but, you know, it's which is interesting.
Like 50 for those who don't have subscriptions or going through a library or aren't a student.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot at Learning Ally to change their structure of memberships, and you know, we don't have any numbers. We have no idea how many people. Obviously, they have enough to continue on, and probably mostly from schools and things like that.
But it's good to know that somebody's using it and that it's still a tool that they use. And again, options. And a lot of options are actually mentioned here by John in the 1,000 books that he has that he hasn't gotten to yet. I hear you. I totally, totally agree with you. I have all sorts of books I haven't even gotten to. I said to myself I was going to read Red, Blue, and Green Mars trilogy before the television show was going to come out, produced by J. Michael Straczynski. Well, the show isn't here yet, so I've still got time to try and read all those books. So I have a list, but I also have a long list of CW DC Comics shows that I'm watching, too, which has been extremely a good way for me to test the new Chromecast-enabled television. Now, Gordon writes in from Australia and tells us about an app that he learned about on a science program. He gives us a link here that's available in the show notes. And he says about 10 minutes in, they talk about the app that allows people to have an accessible way to access floor plans, which is kind of interesting.
Well, that's awesome. And that's really cool.
I love this concept, especially if some people are considering interior design. There is actually a market for those of us who hear extremely well to get into interior design, because there's a lot thought about with echo and reverberation and sound deadening. So if you were ever considering something about learning more about fabrics and construction and the like, that may be a way to get into interior design for you.
It's another one of those how do they do that moments for careers. And, you know, if the biggest inhibitor to a blind person being an interior designer is trying to understand floor plans, well, that's something that could be remedied, and it sounds like they've done a really good job here. Go check out this podcast to learn more from the Australian ABC.
Except for the cuisine, if you read a little further down in the email here, he mentions some haggis.
Well, he wants us to describe our snacks better. Because there's some things that we have. Do you have candy corn in Australia? If so, you just burn it. That's all. Doesn't need.
See, I come down more on. I like the candy corn than the pumpkin spice.
I don't like either. I'm just not. Yeah. I like pumpkin and pie. I like candy chocolate, and you know,
right.
Okay. There's a last word story coming up in a minute about remedying some of this stuff.
Haggis pakora. That is really interesting. The United States recently, Gordon, had a passport to flavor for the 2016 Olympics that meant that one of the Lay's brands of chips here in the States was doing various types of things like Greek tzatziki. There was Brazilian pakora, and there was Szechuan chicken. So there were these different flavors that were going around from the Olympics. Sriracha and one sometimes. Too. Yeah, I forgot about the sriracha one. You're right. And sometimes they're extremely good. Sometimes they are just done to be one of those things that is a limited time only food for a reason.
Kind of even like the old the Fagel turkey flavored soda.
Oh yeah, from well, and then there's Jones soda too.
Yeah, I think they both do it. Well, maybe it was Jones that was doing it, but I'm not sure if it.
Yeah,
it might have been Jones.
Ricky and I are extremely famous for describing foods on a podcast that we did. Fruit Punch Oreos still haunt me to this day.
Yum.
Oh, that was gross. Yeah, that was so gross. Right. You guys smell them through the package.
You guys keep that.
Yeah. But yeah,
Jeremy, with a compliment and your favorite question.
There's a question. Go ahead.
Okay. He compliments us. I love listening to your podcast. Loves the sound quality. Then he asks, how do you do it? Well, we don't have to. That's a long answer.
Yeah.
So,
the short answer is Patrick
does a lot to make it sound like we're in the same.
Would be the word I would use.
Yes, he definitely. It comes a lot down to recording software and microphones, especially because you can have the best apps and crappy mics, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know. There isn't a lot you can do with bad mics. You can make them sound decent, and Patrick has done that on many occasions.
You can also make them sound worse.
Oh, yes.
You can make you sound like that. So, I mean, we use the same tools a lot of other, and that's not really a secret. We use TeamTalk, which is a popular voice chat thing, and we use Reaper. But you can't just download these things. Like, oh, I think I'm just going to do this. I mean, you can learn it. I'm not going to say you can't. But there is a lot going on. There's classes from the Cisco
Academy. They do some stuff on Reaper. There's people that will happily train you. I'm sure if you you could hire Patrick for your own projects, and he will make you sound amazing. And that might be the better route to go. That's the route that we chose, because otherwise it takes a lot of time to make these things sound good.
You need to be really comfortable in the subject matter that you're going to talk about. Yeah. If you feel like you're going to talk about, let's say, Excel and Apple products and Apple products using Excel, it helps that you know those products in and out. When I'm talking about reading pixel reviews, I spent an hour today reading 17 pixel reviews and reading different viewpoints on the pixel because the embargo went up on the day that we recorded. We do a lot of research before we come in here. Now, sometimes it doesn't sound like that, and that might be because we don't.
It depends on what it is.
Comfortable in and that yes, particular I'm, and, thing, or it didn't excite us.
And I'm Google happen. Happy during the show. I mean, there's no secret about that either. I'm definitely always like kind of trying to pull things in. But, yeah. At least we try to know what we're talking about
your
before.
Subject matter, liking it, doing some research, planning out your show, looking at ways to do segues. Tom Merritt does a great thing. If you look up Daily Tech News Show and how he promotes and put in how does Tom build the Daily Tech News Show on YouTube, and he does a great job at showing you how he approaches his way of making his show. And I take a lead from that, but honestly, some of the good guys out there, like Leo Laporte, of course, but if you go in that direction, you get a little bit too broadcasty. And as Jay and Patrick have heard me say, podcasts are not broadcasts. And some of our Greg Porch recently wrote in, and I told him the same thing. Somewhere in the middle, you have to land in a podcast. It can't sound too much like radio. At the same time, it can't sound too much like you're recording on the back porch. It's got to fall somewhere in between.
And every show is different, too. It depends what you're going for. It depends the type of listeners you're going for, or if you care if you have listeners. Some people just do it for their own fun and enjoyment and could care less if they had one person or 100, I mean, which is fine. You know, some people do their radio shows that way.
Then that's an audio blog or an OG. No, wait, that's not right. No, that's not right at all. No. You know what else isn't right? The last word. I'll let you go first since you mentioned this. Ew. George Bush would not eat this. You know that.
No. This is the headline says, make broccoli taste like chocolate. So we've talked before about devices that you implant on your tongue to give you your surroundings. Well, you could
degree, correct?
Yes, yeah. You could wear a brain port, or you could wear this thing, which is a little 2 centimeter wide, a little less than an inch, little thing that you put it on your tongue, and it kind of goes into the receptors of your taste buds, and it makes bad food taste like good food. So, bland. Like they say, turn bland tofu into steak.
Yeah. Sure. The same way that people tell me that carob tastes like chocolate. Yes.
So if you're stuck with a candy corn, or you might want to make everything else taste like candy corn. Maybe that's what you want to do.
I don't know if I could describe candy corn. Some would say it was a waxy, sugary substance that feels like you're eating a candle. I don't see it that way. I kind of like candy corn as opposed to some other stuff that's out there. But it also depends too, because there's different flavors of candy corn. The traditional candy corn with the white tips.
I wasn't even aware of that.
On the bottom.
I wasn't even aware there was flavors. I stopped the first one.
Candy corn and there's the butterscotch like candy corn.
Well, this is what your science dollars are going for. This is researchers at the University of London who have developed, and they've decided.
One step closer to the Matrix. See, my brain is telling me, you know, this is supposed to be steak. And okay, never mind. No more sci-fi references, because you know, as a merchant, Jay, you might have run into one of these things called chip and pin. There's a very, very great. There's a great, great, great. Fantastic sketch from Mitchell and Webb about chip and pin. You should definitely look up on. Oh, I might put the link here in the show notes if it's not region locked. But sometimes there's this little dance that people have to do when using the new pin or chip cards. And this little video kind of gives you a good idea of what it's like, or at least what you will hear this holiday season.
Hi. Did you find everything okay today?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Love this bag.
Me too.
And 4253.
Okay.
That's a chip card. You're going to have to insert it.
Oh, okay.
Don't take it out.
Oh, sorry. Can I?
No, leave it in.
What is this for?
It's a card with a chip on it. Okay, and take it out. Ooh, you should have left it in.
You just told me to take it out.
Okay, try this. Tap it, then insert it, and then hit credit card, and then type in your PIN.
Okay. It's saying press cancel.
Press cancel.
Okay.
And it was canceled, so we have to start over.
Is that a good beep or a bad beep?
The beeps are the same. Take it out.
But it says do not remove card.
Well, he's lying to you.
He?
Yeah, take it out. Ooh.
What?
Your identity just got stolen.
What? No, he can't do that to me.
He?
Are you kidding me?
Hold on, I'm just gonna fix this. Okay, swipe it.
Swipe the card.
Yes, I fixed it. You can swipe
it. I can swipe this card. It's a chip card.
Yeah, go ahead, swipe.
Okay, I'm gonna swipe it.
Okay.
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 All right, I'm about to.
Okay, swipe it.
Okay.
Well, it's a chip card, so that didn't work.
Ooh, I'm gonna scream.
Ma'am, if you
I'm
could,
gonna lose it.
Wow,
I really?
Calm down. Please, you're making a scene. Let's just try it again. Put it in sideways. Yeah. Put in two cards at once. Okay, rip it in half.
It's made of plastic. It's thick plastic.
Tap it. Charge it.
Trash it, change it, nail upgrade it.
Bop it. Okay, jiggle it.
You want a chip? Give me that chip.
Oh, do you have Apple Pay?
Yes.
Great. Oh, we don't take that.
My card is not even in the thing.
Well, I don't know. Oh, sorry. That's my ringtone. Hello? Yeah, well, he's not my son. I don't know. Ma'am, stop. Please stop, okay? Please just take a breath and hand me your ID.
Fine.
Thank you. Okay, this is a chip ID.
No. Here, I was gonna use this cash at the dog track. Take it, keep the change. I don't want it back. Fuck this place.
Wow. Hi. Is that a chip card?
Oh, no.
Oh, perfect. Here's $1,000.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, come back soon.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That
you know,
may be something that I've already experienced once or twice. When
I have seen this happen, and they take forever on some of these. Square actually just released an update to their chip reader to make the processing faster, because that's pretty common.
I like the Bop It reference in the middle. That's awesome. So, that may be something you're going to hear in the future on a holiday.
Just use
gift.
Your Apple Pay, Android Pay, then you can, I mean, loose more stores are taking
there's
that.
There's a
now.
Line in there. Do you have Apple Pay? No. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. There's some interesting things, but you know, we were mentioning the holidays. Stay with us. We're going to have all sorts of ideas about what to buy. You already heard about the Instant Pot, and you're going to hear us talk about Google Home and some other things that you might want to get. And of course, Jay already has an Alexa. at the house.
It might end up on the classifieds. Yeah. Oh, did we see? We got the trifecta now. We have the Braille Note Touch on the classifieds.
Yay! Got to catch them all. Yeah, we got all the note takers.
Everything from this year, just about that's been announced, is now ended up on the classified. Haven't
seen the new Romeo Braille yet. Is now complete. That is super cool. That is a Pokemon reference for those who don't know what I was talking about there. So we do have them, but you can find so much more people who want to be able to have some quick cash in their pockets for the holidays. Head on over to blindbargains.com or follow us on Twitter to keep up on the very latest, twitter.com/blindbargains. Hey, we're over on Apple News too, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on Apple News. You can click on the news app and you can search for Blind Bargains, and then you can Blind Bargains news content will pop in there. Just the news. If you're looking for the podcast, of course, get the Blind Bargains app on iOS and Android. You can get the audio and the classifieds and those other not so newsy things.
I should Chromecast that from my Google Play device on Android while I'm following myself on Twitter. Yep, you can head on over and read all the crud that I post on Twitter. Sometimes it's science fiction, sometimes it's mainstream tech, and a good bit of the time it's stuff related to low vision and blindness. You can follow me over at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word.
And of course, you can get AT Guys stuff and start setting up for the holidays over at atguys.com, Twitter at AT Guys, or email support at atguys.com. You know, we were kind of joking before the show, we were setting up the thing with Ricky. You know, Joe was talking to his personal assistant, Siri, to figure out what time it was, that we were going to record this whole thing with the Instant Bot. And then I'm yelling over to Alexa to get it on my account. It's like, we have our assistants. It's like, yeah, they're all working for us now. We've doubled our staff. That's it.
That is totally it. Get my TARDIS and I'll be all set. I almost have the future at hand. You know, there's actually a Lego Knight Rider set coming out for Lego Dimensions, and I'll be able to have a kit made in Lego. This is sitting right next to my DeLorean from the Back to the Future set and my Lego Dalek. It's very, very interesting. It's great to have a 14-year-old to have the excuse to go into these stores with, because otherwise I'd feel very uncomfortable walking in these days. Yeah, I think the word could be used. That might definitely be a thing.
One of those guys.
Yeah, definitely. One of those guys who's waiting in line right now for the next Doctor Strange Marvel movie coming out. Okay, so with that said, we've got a little bit more before we get into more tech events, and let's see what we fill up that time with next week on episode 79. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Patrick, for doing lots of stuff for us, as we said before, and that's how you make a podcast sound good. Thank you so much, and have a good week.
Yeah, just like our sponsors, Hims, who fill in all that time, too.
That's right. Hims-INC.com. Hims Lifestyle Innovation. See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.